In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Hear us when we cry.
up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the lighting of the first candle for Advent. Praise to you, O God, our salvation who is near. You hold us in our waiting and keep us awake to the world. You show up in our lives at unexpected times. Bless us as we light this candle to keep vigil for your arrival. We trust that even though we do not know the day or the hour, you hurry to gather all people to your peace. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk to the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem is built as a city that is as at unity with itself. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. A reading from Romans. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came, swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our daily devotions this week, we were reminded how the early Christians had a sense of real anticipation. 2,000 years later, and we will profess this anticipation in our worship from time to time when we declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It is the Christ will come again. It's that part that we can find ourselves obsessing over for all the wrong reasons, or have apathy for the situation for all the wrong reasons as well. If we think we got it all figured out, we're clueless. We're not focused on the tasks at hand. We might be asleep. But if we're ambivalent, we also might be clueless and also asleep, not paying attention, walking around in a kind of fog. So they can be two sides of the same coin, obsessing over when Christ is coming and being ambivalent to the second coming. I know there are many times in my life growing up where my parents told me to wake up. I wasn't sleeping, right? They said, wake up. You're not paying attention. You're not focused on what you need to be focused on, what you need to be mindful of in the moment. When we're not focused, when we're distracted and caught up in that fog, we can very well be asleep. Very well be asleep when it comes to hearing, receiving, and sharing God's promise with the world. Ron Starenko says that sleeping to escape or not being able to sleep in order to escape might both be forms of faithlessness. Both might reflect an inability to trust God, an unwillingness to trust God. What we are missing in the present and with great anticipation for the future is how Christ is present with us now. How the love of Jesus is present in your life and in our world right now, and how the promise of God that we hold on to is coming to us and promises a bright future in the world to come. For those of you that were here a few Christmases ago, I shared a story about myself and two other pastors sitting at Bob Evans working on our Christmas Eve sermon. And I remember there was this waitress that I got to know and was talking to her throughout the year. She had recently become a Christian. And me and my pastor friends were wondering, what else? Now, I've only been ordained 11 years, so this is earlier, right? We're all like, what else can we say about Luke's Christmas story? The waitress comes to our table, and she said, and I said to her, this is your first Christmas as a Christian, isn't it? And with excitement, she said, yes. Here we were, pastors, taking this story for granted. It was these new eyes of faith that was able to witness to us with such joy and excitement the promise of a Savior who comes to us. Note the irony, though. three pastors, shepherds, needed a messenger, angel translate as messenger, to share, to announce this good news and go and share this promise with other people. The joy of that waitress reminds me of what we hear today in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believe. She told us at the table that people around her were just trying to get through the holidays, and they couldn't wait till it was over. And she keeps telling them, don't you understand how wonderful this all is? Everyone around her, including three pastors, were caught up in a fog, distracted and clueless, asleep. But it was her joy and love and witness that called us to wake up to the promise and love of God that is all around us. When we are in our clueless, fog-like sleep, we're essentially lifeless because we're not leaning into what it means to be part of God's new creation. We're not living into the promise of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, a new way of being a human being in this world. We don't hear the news. We don't hear the promise, and we allow darkness in the world to cover that joy with distraction and apathy. Rather than being people awake and alert to the promise of God, we try to resurrect lifeless things on our own. We want things to just be as they are or as they were. It's easy to function as a lifeless people with our mission to keep lifeless endeavors on life support or attempt to resurrect things that have died. Yet when our mission is to embody the joy of God's promise, we're not a lifeless people. And new life can be experienced in all the things that we do when the mission isn't about our endeavors, but about sharing the joy of God's promise. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, verse 12, the night is far gone. And that's good news, because it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can rejoice in knowing that through the cross, our Lord has triumphed over evil and death in this world. The promise of the power of the cross enables us to be awake, alive, and not dead. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Paul here is referring to the second coming, the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first advent, we celebrate God's redemption for the world. In the second advent, we await with anticipation the new heaven and the new earth, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. When we trust in God's promise, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in our lesson today. We are brought to new life and are continually reminded of God's promise in the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of holy communion. Worship that is centered around word and sacrament helps us to be awake, alert, and prepared to receive all of God's promises. And we can cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, as Paul writes in Romans. And if salvation is nearer to us now, then we are to be a joyful people. Not a grumpy people, bemoaning how things used to be. Not a fearful people, which quite frankly projects a belief in a God who is small and powerless. A joyful people, sharing the promise and the hope that we have in this world. A joyful people, sharing the love of Jesus with all the people that we encounter. A loving people, awake and alert to the needs of our neighbor, so that they may see Christ coming to them through the love that we share with them, and that we would see Christ in them, in the relationship that we are forming with them. We are free. When we are free, we are awake, we are alert, and we are active. In our devotions this week that reflected on our gospel lesson from Matthew, we're not only given permission, but are relieved That we don't have to know everything. That we don't have to know the day or the hour. We're not expected to know everything. We're expected to be awake, alert, and active. I love how Mark Ures puts it. Matthew's Jesus has an eye on what is to come and believes something decisive is going to happen in the future, but he keeps attention focused on the present day and the needs of the hour. We find this in the manner in which he directs people to the field, the mill, the daily grind, the ordinary places of human endeavor where life is lived. The region of the mundane is where faithfulness happens, and it's not to be neglected. Biblical faith knows it does not know everything, but it does know that it's called to do something here and now. Some have interpreted Matthew as trying to determine when they would be able to escape this world. Some within that group have removed themselves from the world and trying to figure out just when it would happen. Others have sadly tied a message of fear and not hope to God's promise. But Paul's letter to the Romans and these words from Matthew's gospel are reminders and invitations to not fall asleep, not be clueless to God's abiding presence in the world. And it is in your daily work, in the vocations that God has called each of us to, in the activities that are sacred and mundane, that we know God is present. We say that God is our Emmanuel. What does that mean? God is with us. Always. We're not asked to know everything, but we're asked to trust in God's promises. We are not to fall asleep, but keep awake and alert, and that means our attention will be on where God is calling us to serve our neighbor and to be good stewards of all God's creation. That image in Matthew's gospel is a beautiful image. People are going about their daily work. Go out into the world and do what God has called you to do. And through the witness of your life, may you share the love of Jesus. Because our daily life bears witness to God's second advent. May we be faithful in all that we do. And may the love of Jesus that is shared in word and deed offer a glimpse of the hope that we have and the trust that we have in God's promise of the kingdom that is here and the kingdom that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and of the life of the world to come. Amen. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God of all, your children everywhere cry out for mercy. Awaken the global church to the urgent needs of our time. Break down barriers of culture and custom and unite people of all faiths in your redemptive and healing work. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of leadership, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor, and conference dean, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of wonder, the earth's beauty and abundance is your gift. Teach us your ways of sharing resources and caring for life. Guard fragile habitats, preserve the wild places, and protect endangered plants and animals. God, in your mercy. God of peace, you judge the nations. Beat our weapons into tools for serving the neighbor. Strengthen the resolve of all who work for an end to war. We pray for lasting peace in the land of Jesus' birth. God, in your mercy. God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of the life for everyone. Fill those who hunger, comfort the grieving, and attend to those near death. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care, especially Tracy, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, Katie Schwowski, and our homebound. God, in your mercy. God of community, you are present when we gather in your name. Guide congregations in transition or conflict. Give wisdom to congregational councils, call committees, and ministry leaders. Keep us alert to unexpected opportunities for mission. God, in your mercy. God of promise, your goodness is everlasting. We give thanks for the lives of the faithful who now rest in you. We trust that you will bring us into the company of all the saints with rejoicing. God, in your mercy.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
As the scriptures do record, Isaiah to the temple came to see the Holy Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, God's glory fills all heaven and earth, God of power and might. High on his throne sat the mighty Lord, and his robes flow through the angels flew above, Isaiah heard them call. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, God's glory fills all heaven and earth, God of power and might. Oh, what a sight it was to see, and oh, what a sound to hear. The temple door was in the air. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, God's glory fills all heaven and earth, God of power and might.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ
has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, Power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will put that on the lectern side today. An usher will come forward and release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. For those participating in Children's Church, I invite you to come forward at this time as well. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal, you give us a foretaste of the day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
We have announcements for the good of the community.
My family in Southern Ohio, and also on Wednesdays at 6:30 for 15 to 20 minutes. So it won't be a huge commitment if they can't make it on Sundays, but can make it on Wednesdays, that great. They can make a mix of those days or only on Sundays, that would be wonderful too. And we will meet right here immediately following today's service. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.